All right, we're awake, and we're back, and we're on the air, and here we are, February, almost over, last Sunday, here it is, Richard Grunjo, Citrone, Reflections in the Dark, thank you and good night. Sorry, just kidding, I wouldn't do that to you after being away this long. It's been 2 weeks, we had a problem 1 week, couldn't get in. Thanks to wonderful Blog Talk, which we're still at, and I'll explain why in a second. And then last week, we just didn't have the new place figured out yet and still don't. But here we are. Joe, how are you?
I am doing okay. And here we are, a couple of weeks later, after a continuous loop that took us nowhere last week. And when I think about where we went nowhere, it kind of reminded me of an old Saturday Night Live episode that I was watching on the 40th anniversary. And I feel like we are that Dan Aykroyd and Belushi type of thing that was just wandering and floating away. And we're here now. So it's good to be here. As you know, dealing with the New England weather for the past, I don't know, 7 or 8 weeks, it seems like every single week we've had nothing but snow. And today was the first day that the sun was out. It was warm. It was mild, or at least mild for us here. And snow is starting to melt. So that's a sign. That's a sign that March is coming. You know, April, we've got spring, and we're inching our way into better weather. But it's good to be here. And like always, I always want to welcome our listening audience out there and appreciate you guys hanging out with us and being patient and all that other good stuff that come along with it. So how are you, Richard?
Well, I just did have to turn the AC on for the first time in a couple of weeks. It got a little warm today. But otherwise, it's been kind of cold down here, you know, 30s in the morning, very atypical Florida weather for this type of year. But it's been a crazy week. I'm not going to go into any details, but we've been in the midst of a family medical emergency as my microphone decides, hey, I'm going to move away from him. My breath's not bad. I had a tech deck. And it's just been crazy. I'm crazy trying to figure out this new place that we're going to go. And I actually looked into something about 5 minutes before I came on the air, which is why we were almost late. And I have to ask this, we have a listening audience that numbers in the hundreds. And I don't know how you found us. If there's any way, folks, please go to firefalltalkradio.com or supernaturalresponse.net. Leave a message. How did you find us? And how do you listen to us so that going somewhere, you'll still come along? Or B, if we just spent this kind of money on our own streaming radio site and you just went to Firefall Talk Radio and we were just a streaming radio internet station. A lot of craziness. If you've done this, you know what goes into it. But I am just trying to make sure that we'd use our funds properly. And if anybody would like to support that, please let us know. But you know, it's crazy. The world's gone nuts. And it's been a couple of weeks. And when I titled this Rewind, I didn't mean it was a repeat. I meant we've missed a couple of weeks and a lot of big information. So, you know, we should probably try to catch up. But one of the things I want to touch on, and Joe, you and I talked about this, and actually a bunch of people have written me. We don't talk a lot about spiritual warfare. We do, but we don't. Meaning it's integral to who SRT is and what we do. We mentioned the fallen, we mentioned the demonic, we mentioned what they're doing out there. But we don't really talk a lot about the warfare that comes from living in a fallen world and not being a part of the fallen world system. Having said all that, let me just state unequivocally, the warfare has gone to new levels in the beginning of 2015. And I think with some of the things I'm going to bring up, we're going to see why. But I know you would agree with me on that, wouldn't you, Joe?
Why would I agree with you on something like that? We don't have spiritual warfare. That doesn't happen to SRT. Our lives are grand. No, only kidding. Honestly, yes. Dealing with the war warfare that we've faced recently and have faced for many years. I will say that we talk a lot about families dealing with struggles and, you know, missions that SRT does and prayer and getting ready and getting in that mindset. But we don't really discuss the level of spiritual warfare or what is known as warfare. It's pretty intense. And I never really knew how intense it was up until, you know, recently, because that level is always changing as the times change and as the world, you know, goes into this altered state where you can kind of see it. But the only way I could really, I look at warfare now, I look at it as like a large courtyard or a playground area, and you've got a couple of different groups of people that are in that playground, and you've got your bullies, and then you've got your situations and circumstances, and then you have the people that are in that arena, and you never really know until you're faced with certain circumstances how those bullies or how those people that, you know, may have maybe a little older, you know, understand a lot of things, the manipulation and the things that they can do to alter those things. And I was had this little vision, and that's what it really felt like. It just felt like, it almost felt to me that there are people, or we'll call them for what they are. There are beings, there are angels, there are entities out there that seem to know how to get right into situations and use your life situations as a tool to get you. And when you finally really realize it, it's pretty shattering. And as far as you go, listening to your Bible studies, you know, I listen to you talk a lot as you go through scripture and you know, you took us in the beginning with Acts, and you just kind of shared a lot of the stuff of what the apostles went through. And you can say spiritual warfare, and you can talk about the things that they've gone through, and you can understand it, but you really don't get it until it happens to you or the letter around you. And then you say to yourself, wow, okay, it's not just listening to somebody talk about circumstances and incidents that happen to other people, but when they happen to you, you have to stop and reflect and say, whoa, wait a minute, this is pretty serious.
Yeah, you know, for me, I've been doing this a long time. I mean, since the crib, I encountered things, and then after I got saved in October of 88, taking a side against the enemy and doing what I do, then SRT beginning in 2007, and we've done some pretty wild stuff. But this last experience in Alabama took the game to a whole new level and brought new players out onto the field that we had not seen before. Players that won't play by the rules, won't adhere to the rules of engagement laid out by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I've been watching some documentaries about Chris Kyle, the American sniper. And they showed real footage from the Battle of Fallujah and Ramadi. And the fact that there was this ongoing active war zone, bullets flying, rockets, bombs, tanks, and there are people living there. The people living in their homes, trying to get across the street to get something to eat, and they're living in a war zone unlike anything we've ever seen before. And I went, yeah, that's it. That's what we're in right now. The enemy is jacked up on some steroids, or actually in the movie Black Hawk Down, Mogadishu, the guerrilla fighters there used to drink this concoction of this hallucinogenic weed that they didn't feel pain. They were basically demonically possessed, and you could not stop them unless you killed them, and you'd have to do it in brutal ways. And that's the enemy. The enemy's jacked up in such a way that you sit here and go, is there going to be a break? And the answer is, yeah, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back. So we have to endure. So in trying to figure that out, why are we there? And I stumbled onto something. You know, 2 weeks ago, we were going to follow up with the whole mind games and then add prophetic news to it. And some of that news is a little dated, but then I stumbled onto a light bulb moment. You know, we had Super Bowl 49, New England, Seattle. We had the halftime show, which had its, you know, subtle Illuminati influence with Katy Perry. But then we had the Grammys, which was outright ritualistic with Madonna's performance and some of the other things. And then I said, how many award shows happen in February? How many media rituals happen in the month of February, and why would they happen? So let's back up and understand the month of February is the spring equinox. Remember, we talked about the pagan holiday of Imbolc and the goddess. Well, and we know that was February 1st into February 2nd, and this year was February 2nd. And I found this from a pagan website. And I just looked at it, and it shook me. Imbolc, the name itself means belly of the mother, which is where the seeds that begin to stir as it becomes spring. And it's a time of the blessing of the seeds and the consecration of the agricultural tools. It's a holiday sacred to the Celtic fire goddess Bridget, who is the patron of smithcraft, healing, midwifery, and poetry. The festival of the maiden is not far, which happens in March, and the maiden is honored as, get ready for this, the bride on the Sabbath, S-A-B-B-A-T, no H. And Bridget, B-R-I-G-I-T, became the Catholic Saint Bridget. And it's a time when the Coven High Priestess wears a crown of lights to symbolize the return of the goddess as the sun god reaches. I mean, when you look at this and you see how the Catholic Church, I'm sorry, folks, got to go there, absorbed it. And so February 1st became St. Bridget's Day, and February 2nd became Candlemas, the day to make and bless candles for the liturgical year. And the purification of the Virgin got switched to the Blessed Virgin, and on and on and on. So it's a time of growth and renewal, the reunion of the goddess and the god, setting us up for Beltane, which is May 1st, the summer solstice. But now let's back up, having said all that, now that I've got your attention on all these demonic things that are going on, let's look at the month of February. You have the Super Bowl. You have the Grammys. You have the Oscars, which they give out a golden statue. You have the Golden Globes, which they give you out a golden globe. You've got the Spirit Awards, which means independent films, but it's a Spirit Award. You have event after event after event that feeds what? Ego, pride, vanity, sexual lust. You look at February and you see it as a massive month-long ritual.
It is crazy. You know, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you were just saying and just the way everything is coming into play. You know, I had somebody ask me, and this is interesting, Richard, this is really interesting, and I was going to tell you about it yesterday, but I think the best time to do it right now is on the radio. I was working out, and I had this guy come up to me, and he asked me, he said, "What are you listening to?" And I said, I was listening to, you know, workout music, you know, some rock music or whatever I had on, right? He said, "Let me ask you this question." He said, "Do you, when you're working out, do you listen to the music or do you listen to the lyrics. Can you block those lyrics out? I says, well, I just so happen to be a drummer. And yes, I mean, there are, I can block the lyrics out and just focus on the music or the drums, especially if I'm learning different rhythms and patterns and the structures of the song. I said, but you always hear the lyrics in the back of your mind, you know, in the background. You just may not pay attention to it. He says, now, this is funny, Richard, because he says, well, do you know anything about sound frequencies and and lyrics? And I said, yeah, absolutely. I says, I actually, you know, wrote a little article, a little piece on that in my book about all that stuff. And I know, you know, all about how lyrics saturate in your mind. And I went into this little thing for about 2 minutes. He says, wow. He says, you know, you're probably the only person that I've talked to that understands and gets it. And then he went on to say that the music and the lyrics that are being pumped into people's minds throughout the day, you know, throughout each hour, listening to the radio, CDs, all that stuff, that it is all, and this is where I thought about you, because you had said this, you know, 5 years ago, I remember, you know, where he said, well, you know, it's a deliberate attack, he says, and these lyrics that are constantly saturating in people's minds are for a reason. And the reason is to desensitize everybody to what is truly going on in this world. And I says, wow, you know, that I almost wanted to say, do you listen to Reflections in the Dark? You know who I am.
Yeah, is this a really joke? Is there a hidden camera somewhere?
Right. Is there a hidden camera somewhere? And he said, no, you know, and he was like, it's like, no, it's just that I seen that you were really listening to the music as you were working out. He says, you look like you were in the zone. And I've been asking people these questions, and you're the first one that understood what's happened. But, you know, everything that he was saying was all going down to the one thing we were talking about. And that's the mind game. And he's basically saying that the media through music is the best way to reach everybody, because the young youth are listening to it. The teenagers, from the kids to the teenagers to the young adults to the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and all the way on, that's the one thing that is penetrating everybody's mind subconsciously, continuously, is through these lyrics. And it is a big mind game, because think about what just music alone, but think about what the lyrics are doing to your mind continuously.
Yeah. And, if you know, it's funny, you've been talking, I forgot Valentine's Day, which is really a pagan holiday based upon sex and lust. And we had 50 Shades of Grey come out on that day, which has triggered some really bizarre, perverse behavior worldwide. The film's already made $400 million. Women have been arrested masturbating in movie theaters. Forgive me for being so blunt. And it has triggered this sadomasochistic surge. And so February, there's something more to this. Now, let's add to that before we get back to the mind game, because you touched on my next point. We add to that the amount of bloodshed in the Middle East, with the amount of people ISIS is slaughtering, cutting off their heads, putting their blood into the ground and into the oceans, burning them alive and as a de facto sacrifice to Moloch. All of this is happening simultaneously in one massive demonic power transformation, and we're watching it play out. Now, having said that and taking what you just said, here's the other thing that just came to me. And remember what I said a couple of weeks ago. Edward Bernays, assistant to William Parley, founder of CBS Radio and then CBS Television, who said, those who manipulate the organized habits and opinions of the masses constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. Yes, an invisible government, the prince of the power of the air, the principalities, the things we cannot see, who have human counterparts. Listen to this one, and it ties into what you just said about the music, ties into what I said about February, and ties into this whole demonic mind game. There are 1,500 newspapers, 1,100 magazines, 9,000 radio stations, 1,500 TV stations, and 2,400 book publishers that are owned by six corporations. And that means 272 executives control 90% of what millions of Americans see, hear, and read. So, is the February award thing deliberate? I now believe it. I talked about the products weeks ago with Kraft, Nestle, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, Mars, Kellogg's, and a couple of smallers who control everything. When you look at who controls what and how many companies are actually competing against themselves on the shelves in a marketing shell game, you sit here and go, this is not by accident. This is beyond profit margins, and that there's something deeper and darker going on here. But everybody's just la-di-da, like, you know, they got their headphones on or their smartphones, and they're watching videos, and they're watching this, and they're watching that, and they're going to see the things they see, and then they wonder why they act the way they do. While there's some very powerful prophetic things happening in the world.
Go ahead, finish it.
I'm finished. I was going to move on. So if you have the, add to it.
Well, what I wanted to say too, I basically wanted to say is what we talked about, you know, in the beginning, we tapped in a little bit about the spiritual warfare, but when you think about it, just talking in this sequence about the mind games and lyrics and things like that, that is all, I think, a certain level of spiritual warfare, though. I mean, can we put all this, can we loop this all in under the umbrella of spiritual warfare? Just another defense mechanism. Just another inroad that the enemy has. You know, it's almost kind of like, you know how I look at it. I look at it as like we're in the war, right? But it's not a ground war. It's still in the air. It's still an air attack.
Right.
With this music, it's still an air attack. It hasn't even tapped into the ground war yet. I don't think we're at that ground war yet. That level hasn't even happened. We're still getting hit from the air.
Oh, and when it becomes a ground war, I've been hearing about what some people are teaching and what they're doing at their conferences, and I'm sorry, I don't see any of them out on the battlefield with us. I don't see any of them doing what we do, going out on the battlefield, engaging the enemy. They're West Point generals who have never seen a lick of war, who are talking about things from a comfortable, secure room. When the ground warfare begins, the carnage is going to be amazing. And I know you may say, well, you know, you guys are out there, you get a little dark at sometimes, you get a little critical. Well, until you do what we do and see what we see, you don't get it. I have a lot of people that say, I do what you do, or I do what you guys do, and then I show them pictures or videos or let them listen to EVPs, and I talk about our experiences, and they suddenly go, I don't do that. I bind things long distance, and I go, oh, please, please, just go away.
And you know something? That's a good point that you made, because here's how I look at it. When you have these speakers and they go to different places and, you know, churches or wherever, and they're teaching you about these things, they are doing it from their opinion. They're doing it from behind the pulpit, behind their desk, not really going out there. So they could, you know, it's almost like I look at it as a war simulator, a flight simulator. They are simulating these prayers and these things as if they were in the war, but they're really not. It's almost like they're teaching you how to pray or how to do this, and you're in that simulator, but you're not on combat. It's a simulator. So when they're out of that simulator, when they're out of that comfort zone and actually see something or hear something, and they're like, whoa, wait a minute, because really everything is almost to the, how I look at them is a dress rehearsal. They know what to say at the right time, but not what to do when that time calls. And that's when you see the people who have, you know, been in that war. It's almost like fabricating a story. I know how to fight, but I've never really been into a fight. I think I can take a good shot in the face, but you never had a broken nose. So
until you get hit. Yeah, like Mike Tyson used to say, everybody's got a plan until you hit him in the face. And having been somebody who has boxed and sparred, it's one thing to go through the forms and to practice and to spar, but then when you get into the ring for a real competition where they're hitting you, that changes everything. And there are people that have been in warfare say, you can train all you want, but until the bullets start whizzing by your head and you hear the bombs, which just cause your head to reverberate and you start seeing people get shot, everything changes. And we're watching everything change. Right before our eyes, this thing that really struck me that I wanted to share last time and we couldn't. Back in 2006, the primary focus for the potential Antichrist was King Abdullah II bin al-Hussein of Jordan. Mm-hmm. But he never fit the profile, and he kind of just disappeared off the map. Nothing. And all of a sudden, overnight, when ISIS killed that Jordanian pilot, and the king of Jordan got into a jet and waged war, overnight, he became the player in the Middle East. Overnight, the prophecies and the focus from 2006 became a reality. And what makes it so powerful is the Muslims believe that the Mahdi, which is their Messiah, is possibly a military figure that is unaware of who he is at this point, but that he will have direct blood lineage to Muhammad. Well, guess what? The King of Jordan has direct blood lineage to Muhammad. He's a military figure. And he's in control of the Temple Mount. He's a Hashemite. He traces his bloodline back to Ham. I mean, come on. Overnight, he became the possible Antichrist candidate. And we know that Daniel 11:41 says that Jordan, and specifically the leaders of Ammon, will be delivered from the hand of the Antichrist, and that Petra, which is in southern Jordan, will become the haven for believing Jews during the Great Tribulation. Well, King Abdullah is the primary leader of Ammon. He's a supporter of the Jews and Christians. If anybody, and I'm just offering this as a conversation, if anybody was going to be able to broker peace between the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians, it would be him, especially when the Vatican has already been positioned to oversee the Temple Mount. So, hypothetically, he could, after ISIS is subdued, after they leave bloodshed everywhere, after they do almost what has happened for thousands of years, turn around to the moderate Muslims and say, look, we need to, as a thing of peace, as the way to make up for this, is let them build their temple. Just a thought that has come to me and has concerned me as we watch this whole thing play out. That here we have one possible candidate for the Antichrist overnight back on the world stage. Now, what would that mean? Well, that would mean that we are closer to that moment in time when somebody makes that move and the gates fly open and all the things get out of the pit and the world goes back to the way it was in the days of Noah. But here's the kicker, folks. He's not the only guy that has appeared on the world scene in the last 2 weeks that could possibly be the Antichrist. When have we ever had two people pop up at the same time that could wear that crown? Got your attention?
Well, exactly. And you know something? Here's the other thing, Richard. And I know that it's constantly talked about within the church world. Everybody's got an answer. Everybody has an opinion on it. But let me just say this to you, because obviously this is an opinion. You follow the times. You've done a lot of research in Scripture, as a part, you know, as opposed to, you know, trying to figure out what's happening and speaking of the Antichrist and the coming of the end. We are definitely in some dark times. We can say end times, sure. You know, it certainly appears that we're on that cusp of heading that way. I remember maybe last year, you know, we were having this conversation, and you're like, you know, I know that it seems pretty bad, but it's still nothing like what it's going to be when that time comes. Can we safely say this? Obviously, we don't have a time. That's not what I'm asking. But can we safely say that the Antichrist is alive and well here right now on planet Earth?
Well, here's what I think. I think the answer is yes, but I think it goes a little deeper. I think there are multiple candidates to possess the spirit of the Antichrist. I think HaSatan, Satan, the fallen one, the adversary, has hedged his bets by creating more than one individual that could house that spirit, so that if one of them got taken out, he had another, just like now. We have two at the same time. I don't think we've ever had two distinct candidates simultaneously rise to power. The other is the new Greek leader of the new Greek leader of Greece, which would be make sense since he's leading Greece. He would be Greek. Alexis Tsipras. I know I didn't pronounce that right. But he just won the election. He's a far left liberal who is going to take Greece down a road that will change the dynamics of Europe, the European Union, and everything. He is his Syriza party is funded by billionaire global elitist George Soros, who also happened to fund the original presidential election of Barack Obama. Soros paid for Alexis to travel, to speak, to build up his popularity. Built him a solidarity center in Thessalonica, Greece, in which he built schools and orphanages, and supposedly this was for charity, but there are many question his motives. But this Greek radical liberal, I mean, he feeds the furthest form of the left you can, is going to unravel that part of the world. And he fits the Antichrist candidate to the point that you wonder, okay, is this a misdirection? Is it Jordan? Is it somebody else? Who is it? That some people point to the Pope as the false prophet. You do with that what you will. There's enough evidence to say yes, but it may not be this Pope. There's just so much happening at the same time. If ISIS does what I think it's going to do, and let me circle this together with this comment. If ISIS does what I think it's going to do, it keeps when it beheaded those 21 Coptic Christians, Egyptian Christians on the beach in Libya. It was making a statement to Europe that we're coming your way, because Libya's a short trip to Italy. What could unite the whole world, regardless of politics, religious beliefs? What could unite the whole world but a threat that they have to put aside their differences to fight, and that would be ISIS. Discussions have already begun between Egypt, Israel, Jordan, and some other nations for that particular scenario, that if we have to, we will have to band together. Of course, we have our government really wants no part of it, but I don't think that's really going to matter. I think all the other nations, we saw what Egypt did. Egypt immediately reacted to the slaughter of those Christians by bombing ISIS. Jordan, we've been watching them bomb them repeatedly. I think we're on the verge over the next 6, 7, 8 months as we roll towards September, October, the culmination of events that will determine, is this it? I'm not saying it is. We don't know the hour or the day. We don't know the time. But right now, all of the chips overnight, and I keep saying that because that's the way it feels. 1 minute it wasn't there, the next minute it was. Just when you thought it was going to take a couple more years to get here, bang, we're there.
I definitely agree with that. And you know, I also want to say this because, you know, we've talked about theming everything around this whole warfare thing. But let me just say this. We talk about the warfare that's happening on the sides of music. We talk about what's happening in the Middle East. We talk, you know, ISIS. I mean, the Antichrist. I mean, these are things that you see coming. Then we also have to look at the other aspect. When we see what's going on in churches today, you know, whether we're watching them on TV or, you know, specific shows, we look at these individuals, some of them as godly people, but how about this? What about the enemy inside the camp of Christianity or the church? Not the true church, but what's happening in the commercial church right now. We're being deceived. Our people are being deceived by speakers and teachers and pastors behind the pulpit, who are also, just because they're using the name Jesus, just because they are saying that they're godly, let's truly look at what their motives are. And they all, the majority of what I've seen, always point back to money and giving. So you have to say that if you're gonna loop how, you know, if you're a teacher or you're talking about, you know, spiritual warfare as a whole, yes, you can point out, you know, a dozen things that are happening on enemy lines. But it's almost like we're sliding away to how the enemy has leaked inside the camp, where he has found a way to use speakers who are using the name of the Lord to do his work, whether they realize it or not. So there's a strategic warfare that's happening on both ends. And I just don't know if society is at that point in their life where they can pick that out. I mean, look at this. You're trying to do something right. You watch a television, you're watching television, you're flipping through the channels, and here's this pastor, teacher, giving you a great sermon, or it may be something that you want to hear. And then that person, of course, ultimately says, man, go to that phone, make that pledge, go to that phone and give this offering. And how many people are being deceived by the enemy in that way? It seems that it's just not talked about that much as it should be, because I think that's a big play right now.
Well, here's how that plays out for me. First of all, I have a hard time understanding. If you are born again, spirit-filled, and you understand the word, how are you being fooled to begin with? How do you not recognize wolves in sheep's clothing? And we know that people are, because those guys are raking in millions of dollars through the power of manipulation and the power of the mind games. But we also look at the Bible and we see that this started almost immediately after the crucifixion and resurrection, the warnings of those who preached for profit. The Lord warned about wolves in sheep's clothing and that their fruit, they'd be known by their fruit. But we don't notice that anymore. We don't pay attention to that. We raise people to the elevation of stars and gods. I mean, let's go back to where we started. The Oscars tonight, right now, out in Los Angeles, people handed, you know, these golden statues. I have a friend who's won two of those many years ago for music, and I've seen them. They're gold plated. They rust. They rot. They're not very impressive. Got to be honest with you. And it really fits spiritually what they are. They decay. They're not something that's going to go with you. But the minute somebody wins one, the minute these people do what they do, Golden Globes, Oscars, whatever, Grammys, whatever awards that they win, we elevate them on pedestals and we worship them. And until you meet these people, and I've met many of them, I've worked with them, I've protected them as a bodyguard, I've trained them as a personal trainer, and you just go, I don't get it. Cameron must really like you, or you must have some kind of magic that you turn on, because face-to-face, person-to-person, I'm not getting it. But then you realize, that's what charisma is, charismata. It is something spiritual or supernatural. Which gets me back to the point you're making. So we get somebody up on stage. He's a great speaker. He's a great teacher. He's very charismatic. He can move the people. He can get their attention. He can get them excited. And they leave and feel like something's changed, but nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And you see that right now on Oprah's, what is that, OWN, Oprah Winfrey Network own, Rob Bell, the fallen evangelical preacher who's saying that the Bible is basically irrelevant and Christianity is going to go away or whatever. It's going to have to do this or do that. And I'm looking at this and going, just logically, Christianity based on the teachings of Jesus Christ, but what you're saying is all of that has to change to fit something other than Christianity. And am I missing it? It's not the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. But people want their ears tickled. And there's a dichotomy here, and I know one of the questions you've gotten and I've gotten is, what about pastors who won't work and, you know, they get they want to live off the preaching or their teaching, and they won't do this and they won't do that. And it'd be dangerous for me to answer that, but I'm going to tread carefully. Bible says if you are taught spiritually by someone, you should feed them spiritually. If you've been fed spiritually, you should feed them physically. In the Old Testament, the priest had no inheritance, so they lived off of the food and the offerings that came in. The people that gave their offerings to the temple, the high priest and the other priests, they ate it and they lived off of it. And when those things stopped coming, they had to stop serving the temple and went back out into the fields. And we see that in Nehemiah. Now it's a little different. Now it's become a business. Now everything's changed. But there are men and women, and I believe myself to be one of them, who are called to do what we do, who need support, but who gets the support, the charismatic, the powerful, the one who can play the best mind games, the Joel Osteen, so the Joyce Meyer, so that she can have a $20,000 toilet to sit on. And Benny Hinn, who can have his Pacific Palisades mansion. And all these people, some of whom I've met and wouldn't cross the street to talk to again. And I go, mind games. There's something else going on here. Well,
yeah,
you know,
that's
a couple
where
weeks
it gets tricky.
Good.
So that's definitely where it gets tricky, because how do you justify somebody giving you an incredible teaching and in front of 10, 15,000 people, and they're claiming that, you know, they're doing the Lord's work and their ministry is getting supported and they're giving and they're doing this, but yet could turn around and have a $20,000 toilet? That just doesn't make sense to me. So I say to myself, why would you put a $20,000 toilet when you could probably take that $20,000 and maybe give it to another ministry that's hurting, that you feel is getting the message out there, that may be in an area or in a situation that they can't? And I'm not saying that there are not ministries that do that, but I still can't justify in my mind a $20,000 toilet. When you say that, and even when you said that before, I just, in my mind, I can't fathom that. I mean, if you said, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, maybe I can understand that, 5,000 at the most. But $20,000, it just doesn't add up to me. That tells me that you got a lot of money to just blow.
I'm sorry. I can go to Home Depot and get a top of the line toilet for a couple hundred bucks. That's water miser and does all the right things. God's money, God's kingdom has been taken advantage of. But I do understand the need to be supported if you're doing the work and you're producing the fruit. The enemy is very brilliant. We saw it in the Garden of Eden, and we saw it throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament. We're seeing it now. The best way to stop something is to corrupt it from the inside out, make it rotten. And almost immediately, Ananias and Sapphira, on and on and on. All the examples are there, that the enemy's hand is in everything, because he's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, and we see what he's doing. But there's so much going on simultaneously that we cannot ignore the obvious. The enemy's getting, in my opinion, this is the obvious. This is my obvious revelation. The enemy's getting ready to make its move. The enemy is preparing for its coming out party. And picture this visual. It almost sounded like the Twilight Zone. Picture this. A bunch of supernatural beings put in a prison thousands of years ago. They have tribes. They have soldiers. They have people that serve them. They're getting ready to get out. The doors are about to open. Their time is up. They're going to be looking for those tribes. They're going to be looking for those armies. And they're going to go back to where they came from. And so these things coming out of the pit are going back to business. And I, for one, have always seen that incorrectly, and I've had it talked to me. Oh, they're just going to come out, and they're going to be crazy, and they're just going to roll over the top of the earth, and there's going to be no plan or no reason. And there may be some of that. But I think the big guys, the watchers that fell, they're going to go back to their kingdoms. They're going to go back to their principalities. They're going to gather their tribes and their families and their demonic offspring that died in the flood. And they're going to put everything back as a crime lord would, or a mafia boss would if it came out of prison. They're going to go back to work. Now, having said that, what's the church going to do? What is the church going to do? Well, some will say we won't be here. And that's possible. You may not. But what if you are? And then I've heard the other extreme of some of the, well, we're gonna get the shotguns, and we're gonna get the, you know, the copper pipes, and, you know, the Ozone, and we're gonna go toe to toe and go to battle with them. Yeah. Let me know how that works out for you. Supernatural beings that have been alive for thousands, maybe millions of years, we don't really know, who have come out. They're really, really, really ticked off. They're really empowered, and You're gonna arm yourself. If you're not spirit-filled and you don't have the power of the word and you don't understand even a microcosm of what SRT does and what we know, yeah, this is not going to work out too well for you. I don't know. There just comes a point in the midst of all of this, and I felt this today, and I don't mean to be rude, and I've just reached, what's the word? I've reached that level of sludge in the prophetic cup where it has become an annoyance to see what's being taught, what people think is important. And I see the word, and the word says none of those things are important. The only important thing we have right now is that people saved, healed, and delivered, and to prepare the return of the king. Because when he leaves the throne and comes back, game on, game over.
As we cover all this, you know, mind games, and we can talk about a lot of this, it all does tie in together, because it's preparing yourself to be ready for a war that is about to go down. Now, we've had battles that we all go through, and we can see the state of affairs that this world is in. So we can deal with the war part of it. We can deal with the multiple murders and killings that are happening right now, and the beheadings, and I mean, it's on and on and on of the death that is in the bloodshed that's happening in the earth right now. And then we can take the other section and talk about how the enemy is getting us through the commercial church, through playing mind games and manipulating people to give money and do things because they're not truly born again, and they don't have any knowledge of what is happening to them when they're looking at some of these teachers and pastors. And then we can take what's happening in the music end of things and subliminally, and you can see that it's just the attacks is like an onslaught, and still it is an onslaught of attacks that are happening in every different direction. And yet I feel, and we talked a little bit about it, that this is barely scratching the surface. That ground war really hasn't come yet. And if we think it's bad right now, imagine 5, 10, 15 years from now. It's getting worse and worse, and more people are seeing it. It doesn't take that rocket scientist to go turn the TV in and see what's going on. Matter of fact, music may be that outlet. TV, media, may be the outlet for a little while to get away from what's happening in the real world and go into a fantasy. But when you go into that fantasy, now you're being bombarded by all the stuff that's happening, dealing with zombies and aliens and fallen angels and so vampires and werewolves. So that concept. So it is really just a world that is supernaturally bankrupt right now. And they're looking to the wrong places to find that answer. It's everything but the Lord. And it shows where our priorities are at spiritually by what we see right now.
You know, let me just say this. If you've seen the hypocrisy and you've seen the money changers in the church and the con men that we've talked about, don't let that dissuade you from serving the Lord or finding fellowship with others. Don't use that as an excuse and say, well, I'm not going to go do this, I'm not going to do that, based upon the hypocrisy of what I saw. That's just hurting you. Yes, it's there, but there are real people out there, you know, storefronts, online, however you have to get it. If you really want to get the word and you really want to change your life, you can, so that you're ready. so that you're prepared mentally, emotionally, spiritually, possibly even physically. Folks, excuse my language, we're so screwed with the foods that we eat, with the chemicals, with the sicknesses and the disease. The enemy has hit us on every level, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. He has prepared everything for that one moment in time where he steps out from behind the curtain and does what he's about to do with maybe one of the two gentlemen we talked about tonight, or maybe somebody else. I don't know, but I do know this. I know the one who sits on the throne, and I know the one who's going to make everything right, and that's my hope. My hope is in him. My faith is in him. My faith is in his promises and the fact that I am born again. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that allows me to do what I do with SRT, that allows me to sit here and say what I say, because I say it from a perspective of both experiential and from both studying and knowing the word and knowing him. Final thoughts here, Joe. 2 minutes.
Well, I would say this. What you just said, I really emphasize on that, encourage our listeners out there. Don't get discouraged on what's going on. Don't let that sidetrack you from finding the Lord, having a relationship with him, knowing what scripture says. Yes, it sounds doom and gloom, and it does seem pretty dismal out there, but, you know, it really isn't when you have the Lord on your side. And I encourage you guys out there to seek the Lord yourself. Don't always take somebody else's word for it. Hit the scriptures and find out more about who this Jesus is, because you'll be surprised to find out a lot of stuff that you may have thought is real or scriptural really isn't.
Amen. Amen. Wednesday night, folks, if you're really hungry and you want the uncompromised, unwatered down truth, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. on the porch, that's what we do. And many times the two shows tie together. Natural word. Glad to be back. We'll, if we're here next week or we're elsewhere, we will let you know. FirefallTalkRadio.com. Go to Supernatural Facebook. Firefall Talk has a Facebook page as well. It's dark out there. Lights are on. And we're going to continue to shine the light. I'm Richard Grund. On behalf of Joe Citrone, SRT, this has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.